This Bible study is entitled Crucify Him. Part of the Easter series entitled Not the End, a study at the end of Luke.
Luke 23, we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 31. I'm just going to take you to one verse before I introduce it, and it's verse 3. So Pilate asked him, saying, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "It is as you say." That's the New American Standard Version of that verse. Now, from my point of view, I think we're approaching today and the next couple of weeks some of the most distressing scenes in the whole of the Bible, and yet possibly some of the most sacred. We will be looking at the worst of humanity and the weakness of humanity and considering the depth of the love of God as we look through these things. We may not mention them directly, but that's what we see in these next 2 weeks. We'll probably be touching nothing new, for I think all of us are very familiar with this contrasting situation of human evil and God's love. Looking at this portion, I've split it into four, verses 1 to 7, Jesus before Pilate the first time, verses 8 to 12, Jesus before Herod, and 13 to 25, Jesus before Pilate the second time, and then finally, and this might sound strange, 26 to 31, Jesus having his Lord lifted. And that's, of course, this story of Simon. We'll come to that. Now, the problem for the Jews at this point of time was they had not the authority to carry out a death sentence. When they stoned Stephen a little later, they were breaking Roman law. Only the Roman authorities had such authority. And therefore, because that was the case, they had to approach the Roman governor, which was at that time Pontius Pilate. You remember we looked last week at when he was in before the Sanhedrin, that the Jews were accusing him of blasphemy. He told the truth. "Are you the Son of God?" "Yes, I am." Now, we know that to be true, but to them, it was blasphemy. And that meant the Lord Jesus Christ should be killed, put to death, executed, however you wish to look at it. But here's the duplicity of their dealings in this matter. They pronounced him guilty of blasphemy. But when they approached Pilate, this particular aspect was never mentioned. They understood that this charge would have been dismissed by Pilate as just another theological dispute, and therefore not of his jurisdiction, therefore no death penalty. So therefore, when they came before Pilate, they brought different charges, this time political. And it came in three different ways: seditious agitation, rabble-rousing, inciting rebellion. That's what that particular thing was. Encouraging the people not to pay their taxes to Caesar. Three, assuming the title of king. Now, we know they are lies. He didn't assume the title. He was born king. He died a king. He was always a king. He was always the king. As I say, all three were and still are outright lies. instigated by people who consider themselves, listen carefully, consider themselves to be the righteous ones of Israel. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were the Sadducees were the high priests, generally speaking, in inverted commas. So they would be the religious leaders, the righteous of Israel. And that's how they thought of themselves. You listen to some of the things they would say before the Lord when they questioned him, and you will see that is true. And yet here they are telling three outright lies to get an innocent man put to death. Can you think of somebody else like that? Jezebel and Ahab in getting rid of Naboth so he could get their vineyard. Similar attitudes. They also passed on the information that the Lord Jesus was from Galilee. Now, the Galileans were notorious for being rebellious and violent in their rebellion. You remember, there was an occasion when a lot of Galileans were killed. And the question was asked, were they more evil than any others? No, it's just they were the ones that got caught. Now, notice, having listened to them and talking with the Lord, and he asked the Lord, and that's why I read that particular verse, are you a king? And he said, yes, I am. I'll probably mention this a little bit later, at the beginning of the next point, in the fact that he answered Pilate's question, but not Herod's. Might be a point worth discussing. So Pilate decides that he could find no wrong, but hearing of the Galilean connection, he acted like a good politician. He passed the buck to Herod. Because at that time, Herod was the ruler of the Galilean area of Israel. So he was ushered off to go before Herod. As I say, it was an interesting that he answered Pilate, but not Herod. There seems to be three things that seem to be applicable to the time when he was before Herod. And this may well be one of the reasons why he never answered. But he was a king to be submitted to. Herod treated Jesus as a joke. Pilate never did. On at least four occasions, he tried to get Jesus set free. He didn't treat it lightly. He didn't treat Jesus as a joke. In other words, Herod refused to take him seriously. People refused to take Jesus seriously. And they treated Jesus with contempt, as if it didn't matter who he was or what he said. He was a nobody. And yet we know he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Pilate again tries to set the Lord free. He understood what the Jews were on about. Out of curiosity, I was doing some background reading a number of years ago about Pilate, and the Greek or the Eastern Orthodox Church, let's put it that way rather than the Greek, they have a tradition that later in life, Pilate and his wife actually became Christians. Interesting. But certainly it seems as if Pilate was reluctant to condemn him to be crucified, and he was treated, to start with, quite well. He wasn't, it was only when he was under pressure that Pilate started to mistreat. And if you can look at it very carefully, Pilate was coerced or blackmailed into sentencing Jesus to death. Basically, he was, and he was an able politician, but he was a weak man. When he went first arrived there, he made a grave mistake. When the Roman legions came, they had the eagles, but they also had the head of the emperor on the staves, imperial standards. And the Jews came in their crowds protesting, and they were willing to die for it, that principle. Now, although he had great authority, the rulers out in the provinces were on thin ice, because if the people they ruled sent a complaint to the Caesar, he could lose his job, and if it was serious enough, he could lose his life too. And so they had him in a situation. They could have sent a complaint in, and he could have been dismissed at a moment's notice, and he didn't want to lose his job. Some of this information comes from the Josephus, of course, because he was a Jewish historian at that time. And then they came with this: if you release this man, this is in John, you are not Caesar's friend. So you can see how they've maneuvered Pilate into a situation where he couldn't do anything else but sentence Jesus to death. He tried whipping him to see if that would pacify the Jews, but nothing less than crucifixion. Why? Well, if you go back to the Old Testament, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. They were trying to eradicate everything that Jesus did. In effect, they were tools of the enemy, weren't they? Then, of course, the road to Calvary, and his load was lifted. When a criminal was condemned to be crucified, he was taken from the judgment hall and set in the middle of a hollow square of four Roman soldiers. His cross was then laid on him, and he was marched to the place of crucifixion by the longest possible route. And there would be another soldier who'd walk before them with a placard. You remember, put a superscription above him at the cross. That placard would go ahead, telling the people, that's why this man is being crucified, as a warning for them not to do it. They could importune a local person, and what they would do is they would tap with the flat blade of their spear, and they had no choice. If they didn't do it, they would get the point of the spear in a very uncomfortable place. So there was Simon. He'd come up for the Passover feast, and he was made to carry this cross. I wonder how he felt. I wonder what went through his mind at that time. Well, we might never know. But we do know that at the latest stage, he is mentioned, and his children are mentioned within a Christian context. And of course, there was the load that was lifted was Simon was forced to carry the cross for him. If you stop and think how badly he'd been whipped, and there'd be a loss of blood, he would never have been able to carry it all the way.
That was Gordon Stoves on behalf of Gospel Outreach International. We hope you have enjoyed this Bible study, and if you'd like to join us for other online Bible studies, then you can find more details at goi.org.uk. You are welcome to share this Bible study with others, but please don't modify it without express permission.